Hello everyone and welcome to this week's edition of the Spanish Football Podcast. Sydney. Where do we start? Should we start by talking about the Copa del Rey final? Should we start by talking about the La Liga title race? We'd love to, but we can't. We have to talk about the European Super League. It's probably going to dominate the majority of today's podcast. For other more frivolous Spanish football topics, join us for our Q&A pod tomorrow at patreon.com/TSFP. We're going to answer your questions.
Yeah, but what if they ask about the Super League only?
Well, hopefully they
won't. Please try and ask us some other things.
Other things. But yeah, today, primarily, it feels like we have to dedicate a large chunk of today's podcast talking about the Super League. Sydney, is something that you've been investigating for a while.
Yeah, I mean, there was always this possibility in the background that has been for a very, very long time, as a vague idea, then as a slightly more developed idea, not least as a means of pressuring UEFA. Because, of course, we've said this before on numerous occasions when people talk about the inevitability of a Super League. You say, well, you've got one. That's what the Champions League is. And the reason that the Champions League got expanded, the reason why it became not just a European Cup, was to satisfy the desires for greater revenue, to satisfy the desires of greater visibility of the biggest clubs, to enable the biggest leagues to have more representatives in it. And of course, what UEFA were about to discuss, in fact have been discussing today, was their own plans for a much, much bigger Champions League structure, which would allow for more games between the bigger clubs. And for example, I remember interviewing Bartomeu the morning after Messi had scored, I think, twice when they beat Liverpool 3-0. And, of course, they blew the second leg. But it was the morning after that and he was euphoric.
Yeah.
And he was saying, look, one thing that can't happen is we can't wait another 10 years to play Liverpool again. We've got to be playing them every year. And, obviously, we had the discussion with him then about, but it's partly the scarcity that makes this feel special. It's the jeopardy of maybe being knocked out. It's not just, you know, turning it into a league. Although, of course, that was partly addressed by the fact that their idea was a long league season with playoffs following it.
Yeah.
But the idea was there. What makes this, I think, different? There are a number of reasons. One is, I think, the determination to actually force it through, or at the very least to use it as such a serious threat that you basically get everything you want from UEFA. But I think it's more than that, because I think there is a desire from some of those that lead it.
This is more than just a threat now.
Absolutely is. Because it's not just about them getting control of this. It's not just about the money that lies beneath it. It's also actually about taking the power away from UEFA and saying, right, we control our own destiny. You don't interfere on things like financial fair play. You don't interfere on the things that we're allowed to do. You do not prevent us, and I have absolutely no doubt that this will happen very, very soon, from playing games in Qatar, in the US, in Japan, in wherever it may be. And so I think this is a very, very, very serious threat. The question now, of course, is what happens. And what happens in terms, I think, more than anything else, of the reaction of those that this directly challenges.
Yeah, I mean, we're conscious of the fact that we're recording now, and this has actually been quite a fast, sort of moving story. So yes, by the time you're listening to this, we might have had more developments in this story.
Well, so what we have at the moment, obviously, is the proposal. And obviously, it's been presented as not just a proposal, it's been presented as a fact.
Yeah.
There are 12 of us, and we are going. And we are going, and we will take 3 more founder members with us, and that will make 15. And we will add 5 more that will effectively get invitations each year through domestic competition in some way. The statement, as I'm sure you'll have read lots of these statements, and some of them in terms of the use of language, I mean, the degree of brass neckery is really quite something. Now, admittedly, let's not pretend that this isn't the case in football anyway.
Yes.
And I think one of the reasons why Spanish football fans at least are sort of maybe not as kind of raving about this as before is because they don't necessarily see in Rubiales and Tebas, men who've tried to take games to Miami and Saudi Arabia, as people who are naturally going to be their saviours in this.
Do you just want to explain to maybe some of our American listeners what brass neckery means?
Sorry, the cheek, I suppose, the affront, the chutzpah, what are the other words for it? The jeta in Spanish, all of those kind of words. And so you've got this situation now in which they said, we are going, but we will continue to play domestic leagues. Now, of course, the question now is, are you? Because that decision may not be theirs. The domestic leagues, how do they respond to this? And also, how do UEFA and FIFA respond to it? Now, UEFA's initial response, because of course it's them that's losing their very, very powerful and very lucrative competition. Their response is... We are the governing body. You cannot go. And if you do go, that's it. Your players cannot play international football. This summer, forget the Euros for any player who's at one of these 12 clubs. Forget the World Cup for anyone who's at one of these 12 clubs. And you simply will not play it. And by the way, this year's Champions League, three of the four semi-finalists would be out. So the Champions League would presumably just be gifted to Paris Saint-Germain. Now, let's see if that actually happens, because this is a very, very, very high stakes, and it's a cliche, high stakes game of poker now. Because the question is, who backs down first? Because, of course, it is in no one's interests for this to be a full breakdown of relationships, not least because it will be legally very, very complex, because it will create an enormous lack of clarity in terms of what happens next and how we manage this. And so it's a game of chicken at this point.
Okay, those are some of the facts, some of what's actually happened, what we expect might happen, what could happen. How do you feel about this? I felt weird all day today.
I have as well.
Strange sort of feeling.
I know, and that's absolutely right. I agree with you completely. And I found it quite difficult to... I mean, this morning I was thinking, nothing I write about is going to feel, you know, my normal Monday morning. By the way, I was going to write about Gerard Moreno. I was thinking he was the, you know, at last, let's give Gerard Moreno. And I was thinking, it sort of doesn't feel right. Or maybe Alaves getting this win that takes them out of the relegation zone. But it doesn't feel right. As it turned out, my newspaper actually said, look, we really should dedicate this, the response in Spain, to the Super League. So that kind of took the decision away from me anyway, which was probably a good thing, because it was difficult to not focus on that. And you're right, all day it's felt a bit weird, because it feels like the end. Now, in my optimistic moments, I feel like this doesn't change that much, except to basically close off what already feels like a closed shop, but absolutely make sure of that now. So in other words, at the moment, you've got this fantastic party going on at some hacienda in the middle of nowhere in Mexico.
Right.
And you've got 12 incredibly rich guys having a great big party.
Okay.
And no one realistically can get into it at the moment. But with this, they're gating it off. You can't get in. There's going to be security guards on it. No one is getting anywhere near this. And it absolutely guarantees that. It guarantees that it is these teams forever. But there's a bit of me that looked at it and thought, that may not, in practical terms, change very much if they continue to play in the domestic leagues. The domestic leagues still exist. Domestic cups still exist. The difference is that they will get more and more rich. So the chance of domestic leagues being competitive for the rest of the teams get lower and lower. That's already happening to some extent.
I mean, I buy that. That's fine. Is that party that you mentioned in the hacienda in the middle of Mexico?
Yeah, that was a really tortured metaphor, and I apologise for it.
It was strange. Yeah. Is that as... Okay, it is clearly roped off a little bit, but I mean, you know,
Still get into it, yes.
You can still get into
it. This is the big thing.
Leicester City are going to that party.
And
West Ham might go to that party.
Exactly. Leicester won the Premier League not long ago. Now, in fairness, that Premier League isn't this party, but if Leicester are denied access to the money that this will continue to pour into the biggest clubs, their chances of winning the Premier League are even lower than they were when they won it 3 years ago. And they were already incredibly low then.
Sorry, so the party isn't the Champions League?
The party is the Champions League. The Premier League is not the party,
right,
though, is it?
Yeah,
I realise I've really taken this down. I know. So forget all of that. But what it does do is it absolutely ring fences that. It absolutely denies access to everyone else. And as you say, I mean, to give you the best example, it's probably what Agnelli himself said. Remember that famous quote from him, of course, the CEO of Juventus. Yeah. And he said, when was it, 4 or 5 months ago, is it right that Atalanta get in the Champions League off the back of one good season? To which, of course, the answer is yes. It absolutely is right. But what this competition is going to do is make sure that doesn't happen. It's going to protect these clubs from their possible failures. It's going to protect, for example, Liverpool might not get in the Champions League this year. But if this starts next season, it doesn't matter. They're in anyway. Now, I think it's really important to point something out here. That a big part of this is American mentality. Bear in mind that you've got American owners at Manchester United. You've got American owners now at Liverpool. You've got a sense that of looking towards America for new markets. And of course, one of the things that happens in American top level sport is that these are closed leagues. And I was talking to a friend today who works for one of the clubs involved in this, and he said, you have to remember that the part of the mindset of these guys is, why on earth would I invite upon myself the jeopardy of my enormous investment getting ruined by a bad season on the pitch? Why would I allow, and this is my personal spin on it here, sporting failure to cost me? They would argue, why would I allow, you know, one-off bad luck or whatever to cost me? Not least, of course, because they're now setting up a league in which, in theory, all the teams are in it are good. So even a team as big as, say, Real Madrid or Barcelona could go down if there was relegation. So saying no relegation. By the way, no relegation ever for the founding teams. Yeah. Right? So yeah. Relegation for the five, but no relegation ever for the founding teams. So that's the big thing, if you like, that challenges the idea of sporting meritocracy, or just the kind of the principles, if you like, of a pyramid. Now, a pyramid is difficult enough anyway, but this is literally, right, it's not literally, it's very much metaphorically, it's drawing up the drawbridge, isn't it? It's saying, right, you're not getting in now. A castle would have been such a better metaphor at the start of this whole thing. If I'd gone for castle,
Hacienda, why did I go for Mexico?
I think it's because I had this sort of, I don't know, I had this kind of Netflixy sort of image of super glamorous sort of ultra, you know, piles of money everywhere. Yeah. I don't know why.
It was misplaced.
Yeah, it was very misplaced. I apologise.
Have you been surprised by the people's reaction here in Spain?
Yes.
It's been a little bit different to what I sense it's been in the UK.
Yes, I have. And I've been trying to get a handle on this, as you know, because we've been talking about it just before we came on air, because basically I'll explain to the listeners, I was sort of saying to you, tell me I'm not talking bollocks here as what I'm writing. And I felt like one of the things that really has struck me in this is how much of the reaction to this in Spain, and there has been a huge amount of reaction in terms of the volume, and even in terms of the volume as in terms of how loud it is as well. But if you look at, for example, the live blogs on reaction coming in around the world to the European Super League on Marca and AS, which are the two best-selling sports papers in Spain, huge amount of it is coming from England. Huge amount of it. Look what they're saying. Yeah. Look how angry they're getting. Look at the video of Carragher. Look at the video of Gary Neville. Look at the video of Real Oviedo legend Stan Collymore. Look at these guys respond. Where's the player's voice in Spain? Mm-hmm. Where's the player saying, I don't like this? The only one we've seen is Ander Herrera, who plays in France for PSG, who, by the way, are not on board yet. Not to say they won't be, but they're not on board yet. There doesn't seem to have been... There have been a couple of editorials that have been very critical, but there hasn't been this kind of unanimous sense of this is a terrible thing. Now, in part, maybe it's because a lot of them look at it from one of two points of view. One, the one that I've already said, that optimistic thing of, well, all this really does enshrine what we've already got. The league will carry on. These teams will play in Europe. Europe will be a few more games or a lot more games. They'll get a bit richer. But, you know, we'll just kind of still be what we are. And it's possible that we don't get very far away from what we are. I mean, I think obviously the long-term trend will be a complete domination of money by those clubs. Although it'd be very interesting to see how Real Madrid feel about being a mid-table team for sort of 10 years in a row. If it happens, I'm not saying it will, or if it happens to Atletico or to Juventus or whoever it may be. That's one possibility. The other possibility, I think, is that they just think this actually won't happen. But there's still that sense that, look, this poker game has still got to be played out. This won't happen. They will be pulled back from the brink and so on. But having said those two possibilities, which I think condition the response, I also think there is another element to this, perhaps a third way of looking at it, which is, and how do I put this politely? They don't care. I think a lot of people in Spain don't care. Now, the reason for that is, I think there's many reasons. I think, look, most people do. Most people aren't particularly enamoured with this. Most people aren't particularly happy. But I don't think it's had the same furious backlash. Now, on one level, perhaps that's because in England, we've over-exaggerated. We've overreacted to this. That's possible. I think it's also because that sense of inequality, that sense of these two teams, and I realise that Atletico are a loose element in this, which don't necessarily fit the narrative as well as we'd like them to. These two teams, because we tend to talk about Madrid and Barcelona, well, this happens anyway. We're used to this. I'll let them go. Or if not let them go, well, it's just what they are. That's from the point of view of those who don't support them. And I think from the point of view of those who do support them, and I think I would be right in saying, but I realise this is a reach, possibly more so at Real Madrid. Right. I think there is a sense of, well, No, we're the big club. Why should we keep sharing with these guys? Why shouldn't we go off and do something bigger? Why shouldn't we seek out bigger games? And I think that attitude is much more prevalent, for example, among Real Madrid fans than it is, and Barcelona fans, but I think more Real Madrid fans, than it is amongst Liverpool and Man United fans, for example. This collective backlash from fans groups that support Liverpool and Manchester United, I don't think we're going to see that in Spain from Madrid fans or Barca fans. I really don't.
No, absolutely not. And there's also another aspect to this from Real Madrid fans, the people that I've spoken to. Some of them actually want this. And they actually want this because they've convinced themselves that there is some kind of conspiracy against them in terms of referees.
I think this is one of the... I think this is a very interesting element of this. I mean, let me start by saying it's total bollocks. Right? Let me put that out there at the very start. But I think it's an interesting element of this, and I think it tells you something about the, if you like, the construction of a kind of conspiratorial storyline. I think it tells you something about power structures as well, and I think those power structures are very important, and I think it tells you something about the way in which Florentino Pérez, as president, has moved in this. And I think much more so than Barcelona, by the way, because they've been active. Florentino has pushed this through in a way that it's felt like Bartomeu has followed. Florentino has led. And Florentino is the big, with Agnelli and with the Glazers, is the big, big mover in this, more than anyone else. There are others who've obviously played big roles, but those three groups, if you like, Madrid, Manchester United, Juventus, are the big movers in this. And I think what you get with this is there's a number of things. Number one is, as you say, there is that sort of thing of La Liga is a product that is broadcast to us and brought to us by Mediapro, which is a Catalan company. Now, I, as I say, I think this is nonsense, but this is built into the conspiratorial mindset, if you like, that we don't control it. And that's a big thing here. We don't control it. Florentino will be the president of this new league. That UEFA haven't always allowed us to do what we wanted to do. We haven't been allowed to buy the players that we wanted to play. We've had financial fair play restrictions put upon us. We wanted to sign Mbappe, but they're telling us we can't. Well, why can't we? You know, this is what we do. This is what we want. There is another element to this, and I think this is really important. La Liga has tried very, very hard in the last, what would you say, 6 years or so to broaden the league out, knowing that... And there's a contradiction here, because as I've said, I think one of the reasons why other fans are fatalistic about this and just kind of let it go is partly because they think, well, Madrid and Barcelona dominate anyway, Sodom, they're in control, well, let them go then. But actually the contradiction is that La Liga has tried to break that. And that has involved, for example, centralised TV rights and a reduction in the proportion of money that Madrid and Barcelona get, while enshrining inequality, because it's still giving them more than everyone else, because of the way that the criteria was built, it denied them that 10 or 12 or even 13-fold advantage over the teams at the bottom of the table in terms of financial money. Now, this is a really important detail, I think, that is worth noting. For that to happen, they had to seek the support of Miguel Cardenal, who at the time was the head of the CSD, the Consejo Superior de Deportes, effectively the sports ministry in Spain, to force this through in government. In other words, to enshrine in law. The collective bargaining of the TV rights. And I remember having a conversation with Tebas about this and saying to him, well, why didn't you just do it anyway? Why does it need to be in law? And him not, sort of refusing to say, because if we don't put it in law, at some point this lot will break it. And so essentially you force Madrid and Barcelona to accept that because you're trying to redistribute the wealth a little bit. Not very much, nowhere near as much as the Premier League, for example, but a bit. And I think at that point you get less so Barcelona a little bit, but you certainly get Barcelona and Madrid, and in particular Madrid, saying, well, why should Elche get 40 million? We're the ones that drive this. And in a way, this comes down to a very basic conceptualization of market strength, market power, what sport is there for, what your role is, whether you should be benefiting the smaller clubs or whether it's for you, whether the smaller clubs, to put it from a Florentinista point of view, should be benefiting from our hard work, from the fact that they fill their ground when we come, from the fact that they get these TV rights because we play them, from the fact that they're only big because of us. And so you get that sort of imbalance. And in that scenario, in that whole environment, Real Madrid and, again, in part Barcelona and of course Atletico Madrid in part in this, it's just like, well, if they're going and they're going to let us in, we're going too, because why would we, you know, miss out on this? And
well, they could stay
and dominate here. But no one wants to miss out on this. That's the other thing in all of this, and we should remember this. Sevilla will come out and criticise this probably at some point. Valencia already have, but if they've been invited to it, maybe their attitudes would be different. Maybe not. I don't know for sure. So I think you've got a situation in which these clubs think, well, we're not in control of this anymore. They're doing things we don't like. So we want to get this league because it's richer, because it's more lucrative, because it's got backing, because it makes it more international, because, make no mistake, games will be played all around the world. They will be allowed, clubs will be allowed.
Have you heard something?
No, but there's
You keep saying that. You said that to me this morning.
There's absolutely no doubt that doesn't happen.
You're convinced.
Absolutely, 100% convinced. Even if it's not the regular season games, maybe the playoffs get played abroad.
Right.
Maybe the final gets played abroad. For what it's worth, I think in the next 10 years, we would have had a Champions League final in New York anyway.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was going to happen. And so you get this scenario where it's beneficial in those ways, but it's also, we take the power back.
Hmm.
We do this. This is us. We're in charge now. The problem is, of course, the league, let's not forget, the league is a confederation of clubs. Admittedly, the second division clubs have the same voice as all the first division ones. But the league is a confederation of clubs. This will be a confederation of clubs. What happens when those 12 founder clubs start to fall out with each other? What happens when Arsenal think, actually, yeah, I don't much like this? Or Spurs think we're being a bit Spursy here? Yeah, what happens at that point?
Hmm. Obviously, you are a supporter of a smaller club here in Spain.
Yeah.
How worried are you for Real Oviedo? What this might mean for clubs like them and other clubs?
This is a very good question. And this is where, earlier on, we mentioned the optimistic point of view. My optimistic point of view of this was, maybe this doesn't impact that heavily on the domestic league.
No?
But then I thought, here's the two scenarios. The one scenario is these teams get to stay. So they get to have their cake and eat it, to use the cliche, right? Which is what they're saying at the moment. And there must be a bit of the people who run the league who, on a point of principle, think, no, you know what? Sod off. You don't want to be in it?
Yeah.
Go. You're not getting to play here and go off over there. But, of course, at the same time, those clubs are thinking, our league, and this is a reality, and this is where Real Madrid's attitude and Barcelona's attitude and Atletico's attitude is entirely understandable. They're thinking, yeah, good luck without us. What kind of product have you got? So there's two scenarios. One is they stay and the imbalance gets such that the league loses its strength because it's eclipsed by the bigger league, which it already is a bit by the Champions League. And not only that, but the if you like, the internal competition is lower because these teams will be so much more powerful because they're additional European or indeed world money. That's one scenario, and that will damage all the way through.
Mm.
But maybe for teams in the second division, it doesn't matter enormously. Although, you know, part of what you go into the first division for, you get to European football, that's exciting, it keeps things moving, that will be denied to them. Because one thing that's worth pointing out here, five teams will get in this league each year.
I'm sure
35 teams get into the Champions League as it currently stands. It's totally different.
I'm sure there'd be a different European competition for Oviedo.
That's true, there would be. Yes, there'd be like a European second tier competition of some sort, yes. So that's that thing. The other possibility, of course, is that they aren't in this league. And the money plummets. And of course, that's what the big clubs know. The money will plummet. And this is why, while I can, from a kind of, if you like, a moral standpoint, I realise an exaggerated moral standpoint, I can think, oh, it's terrible, get rid of them. No, absolutely don't get rid of them. And of course, this is a reality. We know this. This is market forces. This is a reality here. And which is why I think at some point UEFA will cave in. And why I think at some point the domestic leagues will cave in. The domestic league that I have doubts about is the Premier League. Because I think Spain can't afford to live without these teams.
Hmm.
I think the Premier League might wonder if it could just about get away with it, even though it's six of them, and of course, which makes it a bigger impact than these ones. I wonder if the Premier League thinks there's enough fan base, at least nationally, to be able to survive this.
What if the six in the Premier League find another 14 teams to join a little breakaway?
Exactly.
Premier League of their own.
And that's the other thing. Exactly. At what point does this fracture, splinter into lots of other things? Because, of course, that's the other part of this, is that those teams at the moment, the Premier League ones, cannot afford to leave the Premier League behind. They need this and the Premier League. But as you say, what if the Premier League plays absolutely hardball? How far do these teams push? How far can they push? At what point do they back down? I think some sort of compromise will probably be reached at which these big, big clubs will get almost all of what they want.
Mm.
Maybe not all, but almost all of what they want. And of course, this is, to use sort of another metaphor, this has been kind of appeasement all the way along. Give them a bit in the Champions League, give them a bit in the Champions League. But what we've seen is then it's never enough. There will always be a desire for more. Because that's the nature of, if you like, incremental capitalism. It's the nature of wanting to be bigger all the time.
My mate Dan, who occasionally listens to the podcast and is always extremely cynical when I speak to him about these kind of things, he was like, well, this was always coming. This was going to happen anyway. You know, now we get to see the best teams in the world play each other. He lives in New York, by the way. We're going to see the best teams in the world play each other. You know, might even get a halftime show. It'll be great. Stop moaning. The tradition's gone in football anyway. Just move with the times.
That is an argument that a lot of people give. And actually, there is a certain degree of logic to that. Of course, on the face of it, you think it is quite attractive for every game that Real Madrid, let's look at it from a Real Madrid perspective or a Barcelona perspective.
Yeah.
Every game, or even Atletico, sorry, apologies because I keep on leaving them out. It's not really my intention, but you know, in terms of the power block, it feels like they're slightly different. From their point of view, actually, maybe even more so from Atletico's point of view, the idea that every game is a big game.
Yeah.
Whereas right now, you know, Eibar maybe isn't and all the rest of it. Now, first of all, I think there is an argument that just says, well, that's just a bastardization of sporting principles, first and foremost. But actually, so what? It's another competition. That's fine. OK, I understand that. The question, I suppose, is at what point do those games stop feeling like big games because they're in a league and maybe the team that they're playing definitely isn't going to get in the playoffs and is no longer that bothered? When you go away to play Spurs and your Juventus, say, if you and Spurs are now definitely not getting the playoffs, does that still feel like a big game? Now, obviously, this is an argument, a question, by the way, actually for some of our American listeners to tell us. In the regular season, when a basketball team or a baseball team or an American football team isn't going to get in the playoffs, do those games feel dead or do they hold up on their own merit? Do they still feel like something big enough? One of the doubts I have with the American model is, of course, that most of these American sports, while they have an international presence, and of course we've seen American football games played in London, for example, they are sports played in America. They're not global sports in quite the same way. So I don't know if this can be fully applied in quite the same way. Mm. But yeah, look, I absolutely understand the idea that in theory this is a better game and we have more better games. But at what point does it stop being a better game? And obviously the other thing is, what about the damage of the clubs you leave behind? And of course, that's the other thing. You can say, yeah, this product's going to be great. And to be honest with you, I think it probably will be. And this is one of the arguments I've had before with the Champions League. We complain a lot about Champions League and lots of people are very traditional about it. And I actually am not in this sense, but I sort of broadly understand the argument. But it's not the same since it stopped being the European Cup, since, you know, teams who aren't the champions getting to say, yeah, but it's a much better competition.
Yeah.
And it's really good, and we still got our domestic leagues, and our domestic leagues still feel really worthwhile. In fact, qualification for the Champions League feels like a part of it, and it's very exciting. But, of course, underneath the surface, we have diminished more and more and more and more and more the competitiveness of our domestic leagues to do this. And this will be another step again. And not only that, as I say, it would be bringing the drawbridge up, saying, right, you're not getting in.
Are you sad or excited?
Oh, I'm definitely not excited.
No.
I don't know if I'm outright sad. I'm irritated by the mindsets behind it. But I'm also realistic enough to know, let's not pretend that this is romantics against cynics, because let's not pretend that the Premier League wasn't driven by money. That was a breakaway league as well, by the way. Let's not forget this. The Premier League was a breakaway league. Admittedly, it was a breakaway league that continued to allow four relegations, four promotions, that was completely open. So, I don't know if sad is the word. Sort of affected, I suppose, and nervous about what it means. Nervous about what it means from a purely selfish point of view. And again, look, here we go. We're talking about interests, my personal interests, our personal interests. What does it mean for the other clubs in Spain? What does it mean for what we do? Do we just cover Madrid and Barcelona and Atletico when they play in this European competition? And do we forget about those teams that we've really embraced?
Of course we bloody don't, Sid.
But at what point does this competition become so diminished that it feels like you almost have to?
We will keep it alive. Diminish it.
Yeah,
we will I realise that today we haven't spoken about any of the teams at all, and we've just spoken about
this. But that's because this, in a way, is talking about those other teams. Bear in mind, this whole thing isn't about Madrid, Atletico and Barcelona. It's about everyone. It's about what it does to the whole thing.
Mm. We will keep it alive. Whatever happens, we will cover Spanish football. We will be here.
Until we go to Uruguay.
Until we go to Uruguay. and then we won't. But that's a while off at the moment, although it maybe ever...
Edging
ever closer. listen, we said we were going to focus on the Super League on today's show, and we have. Before we go, we're going to give you the results from the weekend. It was a brilliant weekend in La Liga. We also had the Copa del Rey final as well. Barcelona winning the 31st Copa del Rey. Sydney was there. They beat Athletic 4-0. Messi scored one of the best goals of all time. We should have been talking about that. We should have been talking about Other games that happened in La Liga, Osasuna beat Elche 2-0, Sevilla beating Real Sociedad by two goals to one.
Good game as well, that one.
They're in the title race, Sevilla. They're only six points off top. They're there, man.
Well, they're actually top, aren't they?
They're top.
Well, if Atletico, Barca and Real Madrid are being thrown out tomorrow, Sevilla are top of the league.
They're miles clear, top of the league. Alaves with a huge win, beating Huesca by a goal to nil. Really, really needed that. Atleti thrashing Eibar 5-0. Betis and Valencia playing out a 2-2 draw. Cadiz and Celta 0-0. Getafe, Real Madrid 0-0. That wasn't great. And Villarreal spanking Levante 5-1. Gerard Moreno scoring again. Brilliant goals from him.
I was thinking about Gerard Moreno last night. And just I'll say this briefly. I realise that we've not got that long because we spent so much on the rest of it. Gerard Moreno is such a strange footballer. He doesn't feel like a footballer who's attractive. He's not elegant. He's not quick.
Quite like his hair.
He's not strong. Well, I mean, it's just, he's not someone who sort of draws you in. But bloody hell, he can play.
I don't know. He doesn't draw you in. I think he can do absolutely everything.
Yeah, so do I. But do you not think he's not sort of an aesthetically pleasing footballer in some ways?
Oh, I think he is.
Oh, I'm glad. Okay, because I think he is. But I feel like I'm a strange for being there. I feel he sort of moves in a way that sometimes looks clunky.
All right, it might look a bit clunky.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Touch.
But he's brilliant. Yeah, he's absolutely brilliant.
Anyway, look, more Gerard Moreno chat on the Q&A pod tomorrow. We've also got a full round of midweek fixtures as well coming up on Wednesday and Thursday. You've got Levante against Sevilla, Osasuna Valencia, Betis Athletic, Alaves Villarreal, Elche Valladolid and Cadiz against Real Madrid. Remember Cadiz, who beat Real Madrid earlier this season and have taken 4 points of Barcelona this season as well. Then on Thursday, Atleti against Huesca, Granada, Eibar, La Real, Celta and Barca against Getafe. Join us then for the Q&A pod tomorrow at patreon.com/TSFP. There's a bonus pod as well coming up this week for patrons. Plus, we'll have a new episode of TSFP Presents Sliding Doors. We didn't do one last week, so we're due one this week, and it will be a good one. We promise we will keep covering Spanish football, whatever form it takes over the next year or so.
It's the what-if episode. Sliding Doors is what-if, so what if these teams leave?
Well,
let's not do that.
Let's not do that.
We'll just depress ourselves, won't we?
Let's not do that. We'll find something a bit more uplifting to talk about. So make sure you join us at patreon.com/TSFP. There's loads and loads of bonus content there. There's hours and hours of archive content as well there to keep you entertained. So yeah, come and join us. If not, we'll be here as we are every Monday. Adios.
Cheerio.